you that are in, obviously God gave you some favor tonight because this bridge has just been overwhelmed forever. And so this is exciting that we're having the kind of growth that we're having, that you guys are being able to get the kind of help that you're getting on a weekly basis, gleaming from the free services that this conference call is, as well as the website. And also tonight, listen, it's going to be a different night tonight. I have a stack of questions that you have all emailed to me that is an inch thick, okay? And those are just the unique questions. All right, 1 inch thick of papers of questions. I am going to spend tonight going through some of these questions. And so it's just going to be as though we were live in Atlanta, you know, in a seminar-like setting where you are asking questions and I am answering them. So it's going to be a Q&A session, although I'm going to be the only person on the moderator line. I'm going to be reading the questions to you guys, and then I'm going to go ahead and give the answers. And so, and feel free, you guys can go ahead and send in questions now and again. If you'd like, no guarantee that I'm going to answer them on a conference call, but you may get directed on where you can get those questions answered. So tonight we're going to go, I'm going to answer a lot of questions on prospecting. I'm going to answer a few questions on fear and confidence. And then I've got an email that I'd like to read you, just the highlights of the email of someone who has overcome some fears and learned some techniques and really had an awesome month from doing that. So here we are, man. We're in the middle of April. We are in spring season. It's gorgeous outside here in California. It's green everywhere. We got poppies and every kind of flower you can imagine. And I'm sure that for some of you, at least on the West Coast, are experiencing some beautiful weather, and maybe even some of you over on the other side of the world as well. But anyway, so tonight we're going to do that. We're going to go through a lot of Q&A. I'm going to answer these questions. We have a phone ringing on here, and I'm hoping to goodness that that's going to stop in a second. Let me go ahead and
Hello?
Introduce myself and tell you a little bit about myself and what it is that we do. My name is Danny Johnson, and prior to getting started in business for myself, I was a young, uneducated female from Northern California. My parents were drug addicts. My father was extremely abusive. And I was one of those people that my dad told me my whole life that I was fat, I was ugly, and I could never do anything right. He was extremely condemning. And what happened was is that when you grow up in that extreme condemnation environment, man, you are terrified to take a step, let alone breathe. I mean, it was bad. Where anything I did, I was constantly condemned about how bad it was. Totally criticized constantly. And that's the kind of soil that I grew up in. And so when I was 19 and introduced to the business industry, you know, I was like, oh, you know, this is definitely not for me. And my friend is the one who called to introduce me and said, you know, this is good for you, John, but it's definitely not for me. And for 2 months, he persisted with me, trying to get me started. And for 2 months, I told him, no, this is not for me. I'll support you. I'll send you some referrals. I'll help you out with my friends, that kind of thing. And after 2 months, I finally got the courage to get started when he showed me over and over and over and over again. I'd hear the testimonies of young people and older people making money, educated, non-educated. And it was just, like, overwhelming. It was like, you know what? The stories were so powerful. It was like, okay, well, even if I fail, I think I'll be doing better than I will at JCPenney. So I quit my job at JCPenney's. I came in full-time, and that was the first business mistake that I made. I failed miserably the first 6 months. I talked to hundreds of people, and I got absolutely nowhere. Then I heard about a training seminar that was going to change it all, and I was like, yeah, right. It was going to cost me about $1,500 between airfare and accommodations and the fee to get in, and I didn't have the money, first of all. I was $25,000 in debt from living off of my credit cards for 6 months and trying to get my business off the ground. And I really didn't think that there could be any 2 days that could make such a big impact on my life or on my business. And so the guy that told me about it said that he would not work with me unless I went to that seminar. And he told me I would fail and I would be behind if I didn't go. And so I took that to heart and I found a way to get there. And I came out of that first seminar, made $4,000 in 8 days. Next month, $11,000. Next check, $15,000. Next check, just under $21,000. Decided I wanted to get married, make some babies, and I met a guy, married him, and he changed his mind shortly after we exchanged vows. And he drained my bank account, maxed out my credit cards to a $35,000 debt, leaving me with $2.03 to my name, completely destitute, broke in every way, shape, and form. I wound up being homeless right away. In the month of December, completely homeless. I was now 21 and homeless. I lost my business as a direct result of getting married to this guy. So here I went from being the number one international producer inside of that particular organization to nothing. Went from dreaming about my dream guy to thinking I married him and having him leave me for another woman out on a whim after just a couple months. To him draining my accounts, maxing out cards. I mean, we're talking from the top of the world to the bottomless pit of hell. And I stayed in that bottomless pit of hell for weeks, murmuring, complaining, whining, blaming my dad, blaming my husband for my circumstances. And after several weeks, I got upset with myself and I said, that's it. Enough is enough. And the day after Christmas, started a business from the trunk of my car, a telephone booth, and a handwritten flyer. I had no products. I had no brochures. I had no way to explain anything about the company and their service. Nothing. From the trunk of my car in a payphone booth, I wound up making 25 phone calls, writing out a script, made $2,000 the first 10 hours. The next month put in 30 hours, made $6,540. The next month made over $10,000. That was my first full-time month because I had a job as a cocktail waitress. By the end of my first year, because of a powerful system called First Steps to Success that I plugged people into, I plugged a commercial diver who was 18 years old into it. I plugged a busboy and a waitress into it. The busboy and waitress came out of First Steps and in 3 weeks made $5,000, as well as their friend who was a waiter who made $5,000 out of the first 3 weeks out of the first seminar. The commercial 18-year-old commercial shy diver made $500 his first 4 hours following that seminar, who went on his next seminar, brought 10 people with him to First Steps to Success, and made $4,500. Isn't that awesome? 18-year-old uneducated kid. By the end of my first year, needless to say, the busboy and the waitress, their check went up to $20,000. That was from April to December. Their check was $20,000. So my income shot through the roof because of the fact they were having phenomenal success by plugging into First Steps to Success. So my income went up to $250,000 my first year from building a sales force and $1 million by my second year. I was 23 years old when I made my first million. Went on to make millions beyond that, raising my 5 children. Raising 5 kids, working part-time from home. Why? Because we developed, because there was a system. Like, we just came out of Dallas, Texas. We had a sold-out crowd in Dallas, Texas. We had a sold-out crowd in Chicago, Illinois. Just like that system, exact same system, that was developed 16 years ago, that enabled me to be able to equip people to a leadership role immediately, to equip people earning 5 figures right out of the gates coming out of First Steps and 6 figures within 6 to 12 months, within their first year, earning a 6-figure income. How? Because I was able to continue to prospect on a daily basis instead of running an adult daycare program called a home-based business. Listen, you are all in a business, and many of you are not. And there's about 40% of you that are on this call right now that you are not a home-based business. You're doctors, you're lawyers, you're corporate executives. You are people who are in management. We have many right now listening to us right now that are movie producers as well as professional songwriters. If I were to say their names, you would know exactly who they were. If I say their names, you would know the movies that you have seen that they have done, have been in, sang in, commercials, you name it. I mean, we have professional realtors and brokers. Mortgage, it doesn't matter what industry it is that you come from, but we know that about 40% of you have nothing to do with the home-based business, and then the rest of you that do. Regardless, the questions that we're going to answer tonight apply to every industry that is on the phone here tonight. So if this young woman can start out of absolutely nowhere, and that God gave me a chance, my God gave me a chance to succeed. He opened a door for me to get out of the pit of hell and to rise up by helping other people get out of their personal pits and start them in an awesome industry where they could become far greater than anything they could have ever done on their own. I believe that the same God is giving you the same chance. that if you are stuck and you are in a rut and you are not becoming the fullness of what you know is inside of you, that is dying to come out and do something great, then you're on the right call and you're invited by the right people. Because the person that invited you on this call tonight cared enough about you to help you improve your life, cared enough about you to make a difference in your life. And I highly recommend that you pay attention to whoever it is that got you started on the call, because they obviously have their mind in the right place. Okay? So, let's do this. I'm excited for Atlanta. I can't believe we're about 60% full right now. That is a record. We have never filled up that fast for an event, so this will be interesting to see if we can fit it. And also to let you know that Dynasty, we're about 75% capacity on creating a Dynasty right now. We only have a room that is so big. We still have one event for people to qualify for the Creating a Dynasty, which is an advanced training seminar. So here's the deal, guys. If you have not yet registered and you're planning on going, you better get yourself registered right away, because on average, we have about 50 people at each event that sign up for Dynasty. And so that would be lame if you are not able to get to Dynasty and you were right there in Atlanta or Tampa or whatever, and you weren't able to go. And Dynasty does not come around but twice a year. And this is that time. Okay, so, and by the way, at the end of the call, I'm going to give you guys a strategy on how to maximize your spring to absolutely finalize your summer. Okay, most people, you know, kick around and get very uncommitted during the summer. I had many people who followed me through last summer who had explosive growth during the summer by following the things that I gave them. So I'm going to give you some of those strategies tonight towards the end of the call. Okay, here's the first question. This is by a man by the name of Joseph, who said that he really struggles with fear. He says, all my life I've dealt with fear since my childhood days and having my father gripe at me with the things that I did. Why did you do it that way? Why don't you do it this way? If you can't do anything right, then don't do it at all. For this, I have always fallen short in my life's projects. He says, example, never wanting to complete them for fear of being told I'm wrong. I get half to three-quarters of the way through the project, and then I quit. I think I have wonderful ability of talking to people, but this little voice, demon, if you will, keeps cropping up and telling me, why even try? It's not going to turn out. Okay, it's not going to work for you. It works for others, but it's not going to work for you anyway. He says, I also fear success. How in the world can I manage so much wealth, is what he's asking himself. Please help me. And please help other people like me, Danny. Okay, and this is from Joseph. I don't want to give his last name because if there's some people on his team, they don't need to. I don't have permission from him yet. Okay, so here we go, Joseph. And for the many of you, we were in Dallas, Texas last week, and I was blown away. I asked the crowd of people, how many of you are plagued by fear? There's probably about 180 people that stood up that were just completely tormented, demonized by fear. It is a huge plague. A huge thing that is rampant out there in the marketplace today, coming against people. It's just a tiny little dart that is aimed for your head, and in your head, between your two ears, is where fear begins its work in you. And so here's the deal, Joseph, that I have for you. Obviously, in 3 minutes, I cannot give you the fullness that I have concerning fear, but I can direct you to where you can hear some calls on it. First of all, if you go to the website in the archives calls, there are calls that have been done on overcoming fear, and you are a brother in the Lord with me, so I know I can direct you to the Christian page on the site. And also on the bottom of the archives calls, there is a call done on fear where 500 scriptures were covered about fear. And so you need to go to the scriptures concerning that and let that word work a new work in you. I will tell you this. I had an absolute stronghold of fear that God did not want me to succeed, and I discovered it 2.5 years ago. And I'm telling you, when I figured out that lie, oh, was I ever mad. I was so mad. And what it is that very often nobody ever thinks about what they're thinking about and where it's coming from. Now, to me, what I see here, this is what you call a stronghold. It is like a fortress in your mind that says you are going to fail, you're never going to succeed, and you can't do anything right. Joseph, I had the same problem. I had the very same problem. I had the very same issues. Those issues put me homeless, living out of my car, bathing in public places. Okay? Because when you allow, and here's the deal, and I'm going to give you this right now, and this is why I'm directing you back to the site. There's free calls concerning fear. There's great information there. If you really want to be able to overcome it, I highly recommend that you get to Atlanta. Atlanta, Georgia, April 30th. It's a two-day training seminar. I had a gentleman that came up to me after Dallas, and he says, Danny, I have been plagued with fear for as long as I can remember. And last night, I had a huge breakthrough, and I believe I was delivered from it because I stood on that stage with you for a half an hour with a microphone in my hand, role-playing with you, and I was not afraid. He says, I was in perfect peace. I was not shaking. I was not worried about what I was going to say. I didn't worry about what those people, with those, you know, few hundred eyes looking at me. I wasn't thinking about that. He goes, I was so assuredly confident on that stage. He says, but if you would have had me on the stage the day before, he says, I'd have been shaking in my boots, sweaty palms, totally fearful, full of anxiety, and I have been completely delivered from fear. How awesome is that? And that happened at First Steps to Success. Okay? So, Joseph, this is what you must understand. It is a lie. Fear is a lie. It is not the truth. It is a lie. And it was a lie that was spoken over you by your father. And there's many of you that live under that same lie, just like I lived under the exact same lie. When I was reading this, I'm like, that is so me. My dad told me the same exact thing. And I believed I could never do anything right, so why even try? And that's what I have become. And what I will tell you is this. Tear down the stronghold. Tear down the fortress. Tear down the lie. And you must put up the truth that you were not created for failure. That you were created to succeed. That you were created for greatness. That you were created for goodness. That you were not created for failure or for mediocrity, but that there was someone that created you that has a plan of action. And in that plan, it all ends with good promises, bottom line. Okay, so you must come to that revelation that fear is a lie. It is not the truth. And you have to tear down, break it off of you, and say, enough is enough. I'm going to make a choice here. Okay, and the choice is this. Will you believe truth or will you believe a lie? Well, you may be saying right now, Danny, but you know what? Sure, I couldn't do anything right. You were a kid. Get over it. We are human. None of us are perfect. None of us are. So here we go. Go to the site and begin to pour into your brain the truth. And here's why. Your brain, and everybody listen to me carefully, your mind, okay, your mind is your home. Your house is not your home, but your mind is. And your mind is what creates whatever environment it is that you are currently living in. Bottom line, period, end of story. Your mind is your home. And so what is up on those walls are not artwork, but it is lie work. And here's the truth. That wherever there is a vacancy in a house, it will be filled with something. So before you moved into your current physical home, okay, in your bedroom, there was nothing there when you moved in. Then you brought your furniture in and you filled up every single nook, cranny, corner, wall, floor space. You filled it with stuff. Why? Because wherever there is a vacancy, it creates a vacuum and it must be filled. So most people who live in fear is because of the fact that they've let their mind be idle for so many years. They have let their mind be used by fear, which is a lie. They've let their mind be used by the strongholds from their childhood. And so what I'm telling you is this, you must tear down those lies and fill the vacancy with a vacuum of truth. Fill the vacancy with a vacuum of promise and faith and belief. Fill the vacancy in your mind with skill. Skill to master prospecting. Skill to master closing. Skill to master presenting. You have to fill your mind with where you want to go. Because here's the truth, Joseph. The truth is this. Your behavior will never change until your thoughts do. What follows thoughts are actions. That's the truth. You think it, and then it manifests itself through your actions. So right now, you only complete a half to three quarters of the job. Many of you that are listening right now, you're afraid to pick up the phone. You're afraid to build a sales force. You're afraid to make any investment to go to Atlanta with us so that you can master those skills because you think that it's really not going to work for you. Okay? You're afraid to be a part of the coaching classes, the prospecting and the closing classes, because you think you're just going to waste your money. Let me tell you, those are complete lies. And your behavior will never change until your thoughts do. That's the truth. I have a woman that I've helped through, that God's used me to help bless her marriage and save the marriage. Well, this particular woman looked at her husband as a sloppy mess. She was disgusted by his very presence. Well, once she absolutely controlled her mind, and she took every thought captive concerning her husband, and she tore down the lies, and she began to put in a vacuum of truth, and she saw the man that she got fell in love with, guess what happened? These two are like teenagers again, okay? These two are just like really ridiculous in the back of a car, wherever it is, hello. They are like 12, I mean not 12, 18, 19, or whatever. Again, hormones going in the right direction. And so the hatred that she had formed in her mind towards him, now she can't get enough of him. Why? He didn't change. He didn't lose 70 pounds. No, that didn't happen. But what did change is she took captive every thought that went through her head. She casted down everything that was negative. She used a vacuum of truth to put up the man that she fell in love with and began to treat him the way she did when she first met him. And guess what happened? He turned back into that knight in shining armor. That's all the time I can spend on that question. Okay. Here's another one. Never mind. I'm going to go that one later. Okay. Here's a really good question. Here's another gentleman by the name of John. John is an engineer. And John says, he says, how do you present certain detailed aspects about the company compensation plan that are, at best, an annoyance, at worst, a showstopper in some folks' minds? Usually these minor details are not shared with a potential business partner until after they have decided to join. An example is a commission check processing fee. This can lead to buyer's remorse and may create a little distrust in the minds of a new business partner that are detail-oriented. Okay? Now, he says, I know your answer will probably be something to do with my belief system, and the answer, John, is you are absolutely right. Absolutely right. But, John, I can understand you are a detail-oriented person. You like to have all the answers up front before you make a decision. But that's only one in four of the prospects that you're going to be talking to. And especially, by the way, if you go through first step to success and creating a dynasty, you really know how to communicate with all four personality types and be able to really motivate them, be able to understand clearly where they are coming from, how to be able to fill their needs, how to be able to prospect them, and give them what it is that they want. John, you are coming from your perspective. You are coming from the perspective of everyone is like you, and that people need to know all this information up front. So this is an awesome question. Here I'm going to solve your problem for you here. When you were interviewed for that engineering position, did they tell you all about the details of the policies and procedures of that job? I know the answer is no. Why? Because that is not the appropriate place for the policies and procedures. An interview, it is appropriate to conduct an interview. It's a getting to know one another. It is presenting the opportunity to work inside of that engineering firm that you were working for. Once you get hired on and you guys have made an agreement, then they go through the details of the policies and procedures. If they did the policies and procedures on the initial interview, those interviews would be 4 and 5 hours long, and that is not business savvy. That does not make any sense at all. And so this business that you are in is just like interviewing somebody for a corporate position as an engineer. It's exactly the same. There are appropriate times and places to give them the information. When people are starting in a business, they are expecting that there are costs. They are expecting that there are check processing fees. They are expecting that there are costs for leads and et cetera. That's the reality here. Okay? And so when you get those questions from people, John, if you're plugging into our programs and our systems, you would really be able to master this. For example, in our closing class, which is a teleseminar, our April 1 is already underway. The April 1 sold out a week before the April class began. We are already nearing sold out for the May class that starts the first week in May. So here's the deal on that. In that closing class, we go exactly how to be able to stay in control of the conversation and answer those questions diligently, clearly, not in a salesman way, not in a defensive way, but in a very clear, quick, concise way that just makes sense to that prospect, and they are not feeling like you had some hidden agenda, you have some withheld information. The reality is this. There is an appropriate place to discuss policies and procedures, and during the presentation is not that place. is not that place. Okay? Question answered. That was on prospecting. Next question. This question comes from a lady by the name of Kim. She says, I was wondering if you could please address some approaches with regards to selling a service versus a product. It is so funny to me how many people ask that stinking question. Okay, and I think they ask that question because they know I came from a different industry. Okay, now here's what is hilarious about that. Write this down and get it through your heads. Please, get it through your heads. If you have listened to the North Carolina CDs, the very first hour, this question was addressed. Okay? Go back and listen to it again. Because of this. 98% of the population, dead or dead broke. 2% of the population is doing well financially, financially independent. They've done studies between these two types of people. 98% and 2. Why is it that only 2% of the population succeeds and 98% of the population does not? What's the difference between the two? Thinking patterns. The way they think. Has nothing to do with racial background, has nothing to do with childhood background, has nothing to do with educational background, has nothing to do with experience, nothing. Everything has to do with their thinking patterns. So let me tell you a thinking pattern that you must establish. If you think that there's a difference between marketing a service and a product, it is only between your two ears. And here's why. Your product, 98% of the population thinks that the product or the service that they are selling, bad word, I say marketing, that the product that they are marketing is the product that they are marketing. I'm here to tell you something completely different. The product that you are marketing is not your legal service. The product that you are marketing is not your travel service. The product that you are marketing is not your weight loss program. The product that you are marketing is not your vitamins, your potions, your lotions, your skincare. The product that you are marketing is not your insurance benefit program. The product that you are marketing is not whatever it is that you think you are selling. It is not that product. Unless, of course, you want to stay in an amateur level of income. If you want to stay in an amateur level of income, be a salesperson and sell a service. Be a salesperson to sell a product. But the product that I market, the product that professionals market, is people. That is the product you are marketing. That is it. The product is people. It is not what you're selling. Because, and here's why. Because you can have all the right answers and all the ingredients and all the policies and know ins and outs of that legal service or the insurance program or the travel product or the weight loss product or the magnet product, whatever it is that you got, okay? You can know all the ins and outs of that and have zero personal growth and have zero people skills and bore people to death. You can also be a jerk with those products and get defensive when people, or that service, and get defensive when people ask you questions about that. And guess what? They're not going to give you their money. The only reason why someone's going to give you their money is if they trust you, not that service. So if you're selling a service, then hello, your ratios are going to be much less. But if you find the needs of the prospect and you show them that your service is a vehicle for them to fill their needs, now you've opened up a gigantic market, a huge market. So here's the deal. If I'm marketing a legal service, okay, for example, the reality is I'm not selling that. I am not selling every bell and whistle and hoopla, this, that, and the other thing about that service. Heck no. I don't even talk about that stuff. What I talk about is my prospect, what he wants, what he likes, what his strengths are, what his gifts are, and how this legal service can help them get that. That's it. Got it? Simple. Quick. Easy. All right? So she says, you know, I did a call, for example, on following up with your customers and turning your customers into reps. All right? Well, and she says, you know, God forbid, and this is hilarious too, because she thinks that everyone that purchases nutritional products must use them. And I know there's about 1,000 of you right now laughing your butt off right now. Okay, guess what? Kim, let me tell you something, because I know you're on the phone with me. You've been with me for a long time. Kim, are you ready for this? You said the problem with our service is that everybody needs it, but not everybody uses it. So they cancel. Okay, guess what? Same thing in the nutrition industry. Yep, absolutely. I know clients that if they get 10 customers, 2 out of 10 actually open it up and start drinking the stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And even less than that actually use it as directed. So when someone doesn't use that product as directed, guess what? They want to cancel it. That is normal. That is absolutely normal. So how in the world do you get someone to stay on your product or service who is not using it? Ha-ha! Now that's the real question. Well, here's what it is. Write this down. And again, this is on the first CD of the North Carolina CDs that are available on our website. Okay, if you go to DannyJohnson.com, you sign up as a free member, go to the product section, you'll find the North Carolina CDs. It's in a group, it's in a green packaging, okay, with some ridiculous face on the front. Okay, that my husband just won't stop putting everywhere. Okay, anyway, here's the deal. I don't even look like that anymore. Anyway, facts tell, stories sell. Actually, this is on the first CD. It's probably the fifth CD. It's on, this is, we taught this on Sunday morning. Facts tell, stories sell. So you've got customers that don't use it, and then therefore they don't get the full benefit of it. That is in every single business. There's not a business that is immune to that. Not one. In fact, your companies have set up their products in a way that they know that there's only a certain percentage of people that are actually going to use it. They know that. And they built a multi-million dollar corporation on the fact that that not everybody uses what they buy. Can I ask you something? Does Walmart reject you because you don't use those five skeins of yarn you bought? And you're coming back to buy more? No. Listen, that's just human nature. People buy stuff that they don't use. It's part of it. Okay? But there's always a certain percentage of people that do use what they purchase. Okay, so in this case, facts tell, stories sell. So how in the world would you do that? You get on the phone, you follow up your customers, and they say, you know, I haven't used it, I think, on account. You're like, really? Well, wow, that's so interesting. You were saying that you felt it was very important. You have notes on your client if you did it right. You got to know your prospect if you did it right. You know what I mean? You got the prospect to open up to you and spill their guts. Then all you do is remind them of their needs, strengths, and goals, and you got them. Okay? So, for example, you know, let's say I call Pam and, you know, and I'm working the system from the website that tells me how to transform my customers into distributors. And you know, I get on the phone and I say, hey, Pam, how's it going? Hey, how's the kids? Been in soccer games lately. I'm building a rapport with Pam, getting her open up again. Okay? And if I've done it right, I sent her a thank you card. I followed through with her. I followed up with her. Okay? I built a relationship. And this is why I said, your product is not your service that you're selling. Your product is people. And if Pam loves me, she's going to stay with the service. Are you with me? So Pam says, you know, and again, that is what brings customer retention. Bottom line, people are not loyal to products and services. So write that down. People are not loyal to products and services. People are loyal to people. Let me say that again. People are not loyal to products and services. They are loyal to people. So if I do my job right and I put my customer first and I let them do all the talking, okay, I make them feel comfortable and I've built a relationship because they love you is why they're going to stay with you. All right, and if there's ever a chance where they're like, you know, man, I've been on it for 6 months and I haven't used it, you know, because it's a legal service or whatever, so you know what, that's so funny that you say that because, and this is what you do, you tell a story or you tell five stories of other people. And I know you have those services. I know you have those stories from your company. There's no question in my mind that you have those stories. Pam says, you know, Danny, I've been on it for 6 months, and I just, you know, I haven't had to use it yet. Really, man, Pam, you sound so much like Carol. You know, Carol's another client of mine, and she was on her service for 7 months, and she was about to cancel it, and do you know what happened? In the 8th month, oh, my gosh, something just came out of nowhere, and she needed those legal services, and it saved her thousands and thousands of dollars. She was so grateful that she spent those few dollars a month with our service to wind up saving those thousands and thousands. In fact, it reminds me of Jim also. Oh, my gosh, Jim had the same exact thing happen to him. He was on our service for a year and never used it, and then out of nowhere, come on, Pam, you know, things happen, and you are the one that said that you don't ever want to be in a position where you are not, that you don't have your ducks in line and that you don't have answers to the kind of legal questions that you have. And John felt the same exact way, and he was about to cancel after a year, and then in that 13th month, boom, there it was. Okay? So I answered that question thoroughly. In fact, you guys got a bunch of freebies on that one. All right. Here we go. This is a lady who asked a question. Her name is Holly. And Holly is with a nutritional company, and she's wanting to go ahead and contact chiropractors. She wants to approach chiropractors for her business, and she doesn't want to sound like a salesperson. Thank goodness. because we don't need another person sounding like that calling a chiropractor and they can smell you a mile away. Okay, so Holly, here is the answer to your question. What I want you to do is I need you to make a list of resources, and that list needs to be no less than 200 names. From all over the place, okay? I know that you have not, you probably, well, very few people have, like, been born and raised and have stayed in the very town that they're living in, okay? Most people have traveled to here and there and moved to different places, went to college, whatever, or have family in other areas. You have maybe 1% of the people, have been born and raised in the same town that their entire family has been born and raised in. We all have friends and family members who have moved out of our town and into other areas. And so your list of resources should be pretty national. Your list of resources, will know people from all over the place once you connect the dots, okay? So I need you to make a list of resources. Your people that you've been in contact with, other jobs that you've had in the past, people, coworkers, bosses. I need you to make a list of other wives that you know, other moms that you know, school teachers, principals, presidents, whatever, okay? And make that list of resources. Then what I want you to do is I want you to, and I know you said that you have the script book, okay? I want you to use the script book, and on page 8, there's a script that you can use. You can use a script on, you can use the test market script that's in the script book. And by the way, for those of you that are like, what are you saying? There is a script book that thousands and thousands, it's so exciting. We just had no idea that it would have this kind of success. Thousands and thousands of people own this script book. And if you don't own one, you are the only one that doesn't in your industry. In fact, let me tell you something. If you're working leads and you don't have that script book, you are so crippled picking up that phone. You have just completely crippled yourself. Why? Because I have thousands of people reading that script to the same leads that are in your hand right now. Yep. And guess what? They sound real professional, and they sound like somebody that prospect wants to work with. And if you're getting on the phone without that script book, you sound very unprofessional and sound like someone that they don't want to work with. In fact, you probably sound like all the rest of the other home-based business workers who have called them that have just made them mad and they don't want to work with those people. Why do I know this? Because we get those emails. Yeah, weekly. We get emails of people saying, man, talk to this guy out in Chicago who was one of my leads, and he had said that he had 15 people call him. And that he wasn't interested to work with any of those people, and that I was the first person that he wanted to talk to. Why? Because they've learned how to master that script. So, Holly, you go, you use the script. You can use the test market script, and you can use the network professional script. Okay? Now, I want you to call first all of your list of resources, and I want you to call them, and I want you to say, hey, listen, our company is targeting chiropractors. And I've got a position inside of our company where I am going to be expanding through chiropractors here locally and also nationally. Now, I'm just calling to see, do you have a chiropractor or do you know of a chiropractor? What are they going to say? Well, yes. Okay. Would you recommend your chiropractor? Tell me about your chiropractor. Is it somebody that you like? Ask questions about the chiropractor. And then say to them, well, let me just tell you, I'm going to be going ahead and contacting your chiropractor. And I'm gonna tell him that you just had awesome things to say about him and that he came highly recommended to me. And anyway, so I'm gonna go ahead and do that because our company is growing our company is growing through chiropractors. They have a great opportunity through chiropractic. So anyway, thanks so much for the referral or whatever. You call that chiropractor. You can do the test market script with that chiropractor. Not only that, now you have started with a third party person. So you call Mr. Smith, who is a chiropractor, okay? You call Mr. Smith and you say, and obviously his secretary is going to answer the phone. And so Secretary Joan answers the phone and you say, hi, is Dr. Smith available? And you just say that very firm with authority. And she says, he's with a patient right now. May I ask his call? Yeah, this is Danny. And I was referred to him by Joanne. Joanne just had some really awesome things to say about him and said that he and I should get together and talk on the phone. You know Joanne, right? I mean, sorry. You know Kim, right, Joanne? Kim, yes, she's been a patient of Mr. Smith, Dr. Smith, for quite a while. Oh, really? Oh, how long have you known Kim? Oh, and then you start building a rapport with the secretary, controlling the conversation with the secretary. asking her how she feels about the chiropractor. Okay? Then you leave that message, and you know, Dr. Smith may or may not call you back. You leave repeated messages, and just if you are telling, you know, Mr. Smith and Joanne, for example, you get that secretary on your side. She say you gotta call Danny. You know, Kim actually said that you guys should talk. How simple is that? Some chiropractors actually answer their own phone depending on the size of their practice. If you're gonna leave a message on a chiropractor's voicemail, same thing. Hey, Kim told me I should give you a call. You came extremely highly recommended to me. Hoping that we'd be able to connect on the phone. I have a couple questions I'd like to ask you. That's it. Okay? All right. Answer that question. Moving on to the next one. Okay. Next question is, she says, what can you do? I don't know if it's a she or he. Didn't leave the name. What can I do when you have purchased leads twice, used free leads, called your leads three times, and they don't get back to you when you leave a message? And all the others, you can't get a hold of all the other people. You just can't get in touch with them. Okay, awesome. And then there's a second part of the question. I'll answer that in a minute. Okay, to answer the first question, I know many people have earned six figures by purchasing leads that have been sold twice. So, and they have brought in people into their home business that have been superstars. So, those twice purchased leads, there are plenty of great people in there. It's a matter of, do you have the skill to be able to stir up desire in them and be able to bring them professionally into your business? If you do not have that skill, you must get to Atlanta as soon as possible, because how much longer do you want to work in the dark? How much longer do you want to work with your current level of skill? How much longer do you want to work not feeling confident? That's a question you can answer. Okay, so with those leads, with those purchase leads, this is what you do. And you've already left, you said you called them three times. If I'm going to call a prospect three times, I'm going to call them three different times of the day, but I'm not going to leave a message all three times. I will leave a message on the third time, okay, and the message is, and if you're going to do that, and you can leave a message the first time if you want to, and that, there's a script in the script book about leaving a message on a voicemail, okay? And I have clients that do this, where they don't leave a message for the first two times they call, but on the third time that they call and they don't get a hold of the person, then they leave a message. And the message I recommend that you leave is this, and I'm going to call you, John. Right? The message I would leave is this. It's, hey, John, this is Danny, just getting back to you. I've been trying to get a hold of you, and I've tried three times, and this is the last time that I'm going to call you. This is the last chance that we're going to give you to be able to get your questions answered. You responded to an advertising campaign wanting to find a home-based business, and I'm going to be making my decision here real soon. I'm doing some interviews currently, and so in the next 48 hours, if I hear from you, then you'll be able to perhaps interview for this particular spot that we've got. And if I don't, then I know that you are absolutely not serious about generating that income working part-time from home. So why don't you go ahead and give me a call back. My phone number is 209-463-5210. Again, 209-463-5210. All right? And so, again, if you're serious, give me a call back. If you're just curious, when you become more serious, go ahead and give me a call. And, again, I'm not calling you back. This is the last chance that I'm going to give you to go ahead and interview for this spot. Thanks so much, and have a great day. That's the answer I'm going to give. I have so many testimonies of people getting called back, to people going, I'm sorry, I wasn't there. Can I still have a chance at that home-based business? What do I have to do to get started? They've even sponsored them without ever even taking them to a presentation call based on that voicemail message. Okay, then she says, you don't have money to buy more leads, and you put out brochures and flyers, no one calls. You are not physically able to go out often and put out brochures and flyers. Okay, if you have a desire, you are left with a whole world of options. Okay? If you do not have desire and you are totally not sold on your opportunity and you are not committed that no matter what it takes and how long it takes that you're going to do whatever it takes to be able to make it happen, then just quit now. Because no money, no calls is nothing but an excuse. That's all it is. Because where there is a will, there is a way. Bottom line. Hello, I was homeless and had no money. I had no brochures. I had nothing but desire. and desire can turn into a fortune if you are willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Bottom line, you have a whole world of options for you. You can make a list of resources. You can learn how to get referrals. You can learn how to prospect right from wherever it is that you're out and about, whether you're at the post office or grocery store. You can learn how to spread your business through even cold calls out of the white pages, like my client Patricia, who did it successfully using a script from DannyJohnson.com. Okay? So there's a whole world of options if you are totally committed and full of desire. But if you do not have a strong desire to succeed, and if you've not made that decision that come hell or high water, I'm going to make this happen, then guess what? Quit now, because it's not going to work for you, and you're just going to be totally frustrated. That's the reality, and I'm really sorry to tell you that. But anybody who cares about your success is going to tell you the truth, and I care. And the reality is that you're going to be frustrated until you've made the commitment that, done deal, I'm going to do whatever it takes and however long it takes to learn the skill to be able to make that happen. I made it happen with no leads, no brochures, and not knowing anybody in the town that I lived in when I started my business when I was homeless. Not anybody. So where there is a will, there is a way, and I had the will, so therefore I found the way. The question is, will you find your way? And again, the website is just filled with opportunities for you to learn for free, you know, how to do it. Bottom line. Okay, next question. I am wondering what you recommend saying when we are asked how successful have we been. Great question. I know a lot of you guys get that question. Some of you that are brand new in business or whatever, and you have somebody say, well, how much money have you made? Okay, I'm going to answer this two ways. This is why it is absolutely so important for you to get out there and create your story. Whatever is the quickest way for you to be able to create your story, go do it. Why? Well, let's say that your company requires you to start with a case of something. Well, then you better make the commitment now that in 3 days that case is gone. Why? Because then you can say, hello, my first 3 days I made X amount of dollars. That's why. Don't fiddle-faddle around with your business. The important thing to do is to create a story right out of the gate. Being like, well, I've been in for 6 months and I haven't done that yet. Great. Well, stop fiddle-faddling around and tomorrow go, all right, I'm getting 10 customers in 3 days. All right, why? Because that creates a story. And then you have an answer to that question. Well, you can say, you know what? All I know is that I got started with this case, and in 3 days, I made $200. There you go. There's your story. So the real question to you, Mr. Prospect, is how much do you want to make in the next 3 days? There you go. Okay? Then you say, okay, so again, one, go create your story. So important, right away. Okay? So that you have an answer. Let's say that you haven't created that story yet. All right, and you're building your business, and it's not tomorrow yet, which means you haven't created your story yet. All right, that's fine. Then your answer is this. You say, man, you know what, that is an awesome question. In fact, I had the same question of the person that got me started. In fact, let me tell you what happened to her. She got started in her very first month. She wound up making $500. And also, I got to tell you about Sue. Sue is a part-time working mom, and she's working our company part-time also. And the girl got started, and in her very first week, she made $200. As well as John right over here. He's a full-time engineer. He got started, and in his first 2 weeks, he made $500. And so my question to you, Mr. Prospect, is how much money do you want to make in the next 2 weeks? He's going to say, well, I'd like to make $200. Great. Welcome aboard. Let's get you started. There's the answer to that question. Okay, Danny. How do you take control of the conversation? I've had problems with people that will hang up if you don't answer their questions about our company. Angie, I totally understand. And honestly, that is a first steps experience that you need to experience. That's not even something that I necessarily recommend that you could even get through a CD or anything like that, because when you see it live, then you get the revelation about how to be able to do it, and you will see the things that you're doing to provoke the question. I could spend an hour right here, but we don't have an hour. I have 7 minutes. And so that is a literal first steps issue. And or also the prospecting and closing classes, because once you see what it is that you're doing to provoke the questions, then you can stop doing the thing that you are doing to provoke the questions, and this is a non-issue. If you have, in the beginning, somebody come and ask you with all kinds of questions, here is my response to an inquisitive person who's being pushy with me. My answer to them would be, you know, Angie, I am looking for a long-term business relationship with somebody, and I can tell right now that's probably not going to work out between the two of us, And so if you are absolutely serious, or when you become more serious about earning a six-figure income working part-time from home, let me give you my phone number. You can go ahead and give me a call back when you're more serious. Because at this point, I need to ask you a few simple questions to figure out what information to direct you to. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, then I think that right now is probably a good time for us to end our relationship. And that's it. 50% of the time now people say, okay, fine, bye. And some of those people will wind up calling you back. Okay? Why? Because you held your ground. And 50% of the time you'll wind up people going, oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right, so go on with your questions. Now you have control of the conversation. Okay. Let me read you this. It's so exciting. This is a lady who overcame fear. She is from Holland. And she said, well, by the end of last month, I spoke with my company president, and I told him that I had enough of all the negative people around me and that I will go out and sponsor 20 new people this month. She said this was after a conference call that she heard, and I asked for everybody, I want to know if you hit your bonus pools this month, and she was emailing me to let me know I hit the bonus pools, Danny. So she stepped up and told her company president, I'm sick and tired of negative people around me. I'm going to step up and do something, and I'm going to get 20 new people this month. Has never done anything like that before in her life. He said, I'm going to keep you to that. It scared me, but I wanted it so much, and guess what? I did it. I enrolled 21 people this month, something I have never done before. I did this all because of your trainings, me being peed off, being so mad at myself that I did it. Isn't that awesome? This is a Jackie from Holland. How awesome is that? What a powerful, powerful testimony that is. Okay, so let me wrap this up. I told you guys that I would give you a strategy closing up the spring season, even though we're just beginning in spring. How you set up your spring season will absolutely determine what happens through the summer season. You see, 98% of the population in this business use the summer months as nothing but a huge excuse not to build their business. That's what they do. And so, therefore, what we have is a huge door, a huge opportunity to capitalize on the market who is still looking for an opportunity during the summer. You see, the summer layoffs don't stop during the summer. No, they happen all the time. Job security doesn't change during the summer. No. Insecurity of a job happens all the time. Bosses don't all of a sudden get really nice during the summer and no longer tick off an employee. No, that doesn't happen. Do you understand? The only thing that's peculiar about summer is 98% of the population who thinks that people won't sign up because it's summer. Well, I've been one of those people who have driven my sales force all through summer and also the winter December months and have had record sales breaking months during those times. Why? Because I'm a strategist. Do you want to be a strategist? Let me tell you what you do. Don't you realize that right now it is spring, it's the beginning of the spring season, which what you do during your spring season determines what you see in the summer months. If you would like to be the one that grows through the summer and grabs all those bonuses, and you want to be the one that has your team grabbing those bonuses, you have the opportunity to double, if not triple, during the summer months when everybody else is using the excuse that it's slow season during the summer. And so this is the opportunity to totally capitalize on the fact that we know historically that most people in a home-based business totally get sidetracked and distracted during the summer months. So I'm going to be here every Monday night totally driving you to be getting those bonus pools and equipping you with skill that is necessary to get number one in your company, because now's the time to do it. Let me tell you how to set yourself up during the spring. See, right now it is so simple to be getting people in the business. It's nothing, man. There's nothing. People like to grow during the spring. That's simple stuff. But do you want to maximize? How many of you do not want your sales force taking a break during the summer? How many of you don't want that to happen? All of you. How many of you would love to have a sales force that's just pumping and thumping during the summer? That you are dominating the bonus pools. That your group is growing by leaps and bounds, and by the time fall comes back, which is the next and the last crazy season of the year, it's the last growth season of the year, guess what? You have multiplied by great numbers, which means that you will exponentially grow by the end of the year. So this is basically how it works. Here we've got Atlanta coming up, right? And again, Tom, one of my clients, took me up on it last summer, and guess what happened? He's maintained number one and maintained dominating the bonus pools for the whole year. Why? Because he's like, okay, Danny, I'm gonna do this as an experiment. I'll go along with you. Let's see how it works. And he did. And he had people popping up with $10,000 paychecks during the summer months. Okay? So here it is. During the spring season, you have got to make sure that you set up your business in a way through new blood, okay? Through new blood that you put them in a position where they can come out of the gates running, okay? Where they come out with full speed ahead, where they come out with wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Their ability has increased by 100%. Their skill has increased by 100%. That's not that difficult to do when somebody is like in the beginning. Okay? So let's just say, for example, that you set your Salesforce up right now. Okay? In the next 2 weeks, what you do is you drive the Atlanta event. Okay? You drive your Atlanta event. I want you to draw yourself on top of a Salesforce, and you've got five brand new people. All right? Five first-level brand new people that you personally brought in yourself. You've got five brand new people that you are driving to the Atlanta event. Okay? These people are about to have their first 90 days, which, where does that put them? We're at the end of April. It's April 30th. So that means May, okay, June, and July. That puts them right in the middle, that puts them in their first 90 days for the success of their business, okay, which puts you through summer, which is awesome. Well, there's not a seminar in May, so that can't happen. There's only creating a dynasty, so no one's qualified after, no one can qualify after Atlanta, so there's not a first step in May, all right? So, like, if you wait till June, guess what? You're messed up. You totally set yourself up without the kind of momentum that you could have had. When you put people in the spring, in April and May, through that season of equipping, they leave that thing building. And so now you've got these five, and I'm not kidding you, Tom would be the one to tell you out of it. He says 9 out of the 10 people that he brings are all lined up making 3 times more money than the ones that don't go. Okay, all of his top producers are the ones that went. So if you have 4 of the 5, let's say one falls off the face of the planet, but 4 of the 5, and this is not unrealistic at all. This is so not unrealistic. Now you've got these people driving for June. Okay, June 1st steps, wherever that may be, and I don't even know if there's going to be one at this point, but you know, let's say there is one. Check it out. They're driving for June. They've got now they've got momentum happening just like Kim, which is Jefferson's gal, who now has momentum happening, and she has people building the business without her. Okay? So if you set yourself up, you strategize, and I know some of you are going on a cruise that same weekend. I know you are. But check it out. If you strategize and you put people in the right position, you're setting them up for those summer months to be able to drive a sales force. By the time fall comes around, you have built an army of promoters. You built an army of recruiters. You built an army of presenters, and you built an army of closers. Instead of you one by one getting people, you know, through the summer, and then eventually now you're really going to get busy in the fall. Oh my gosh! I'm telling you, there's about 3 of you that are actually going to take me up on this. They're actually going to run this as a test, and you're going to see the results that happen. It is scary. Some of your businesses will triple in the fall by utilizing the strategy that I just gave you. Okay, guys. Again, Atlanta is 60% full. The prospecting and closing classes are just about full. Those are phenomenal, man. The results of those are crazy. Keep posting on the email. And I hope that these questions that people have asked helped you personally for your business. I pray that God totally prospers you, that you have an awesome week, that you overcome fear, that you tear down the strongholds and the lies that are in your mind that are keeping you from succeeding, that when you come to First Steps that you will discover the things that are hindering your life and your success and your family and your marriage, that you will discover exactly how to maximize, how to explode, how to set your business up for the spring season so that during the summer you are totally riding a big wave that you have created, because you put yourself in the right place at the right time. God bless you guys, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.